from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, I want to talk about a couple of the standouts from yesterday's Cactus League game between the Giants and the Diamondbacks. The Giants winning 11-9. Madison Bumgarner, no, did not pitch for the Diamondbacks in yesterday's game. But specifically, a couple of guys stood out, and that's probably going to be a theme for us as spring training unfolds. We're not going to talk about the games themselves, certainly, and kind of the moments that mattered in terms of the final score, but it's looking at individuals who had standout performances, even if that standout performance is some really good at-bats that don't result in hits. But yesterday, I think there's no doubt that the standout performances belong to Drew Smyly and Jalen Davis. There were others as well, but I want to focus on those two because they're both big pieces for the 2020 Giants with a significant amount of uncertainty for both. And at the same time, there's a significant amount of upside for both. So a strong season from Drew Smyly, a strong season from Jalen Davis would go a long way because, you know, them kind of struggling is actually baked into the projections for the Giants. But as I've said repeatedly, they are the types of players who have that upside that the Giants are looking for. So Smyly went 1 2/3 innings, had 2 strikeouts, and allowed 1 hit and 1 walk. Probably more significantly, he reached 94 miles an hour on his fastball. Now, this is something that he was struggling with when he first came back in 2019, his first major league innings since undergoing Tommy John surgery. So we talked when the Giants signed him about the fact that if you look at his average fastball velocity by month in 2019, it starts off low and then it ticks up every single month of the season. So he ended the year at his highest point. But the average for him on his fastball during the 2019 season was just 91.2 miles an hour. So pulling it up now, he actually averaged 90.8 in April, 90.5 in May, so it actually went down. But then 91.2 in June, 91.5 in July, 91.5 again in August, and then 92.1 in September. So a clear upwards trajectory, and the fact that he was hitting 94 in this spring start, his first start of the spring, is definitely a good sign. And if you look at his 2019 season with the Rangers and a brief stint in the Brewers organization and then to the Phillies where he pitched under Gabe Kapler, you can see that his velocity on his fastball and his success were actually highly correlated. He really struggled in the beginning of the year with a fastball that averaged in the low 90s. And towards the end of the year and down the stretch with Philadelphia with an average fastball of 92.1, he actually really did well in that last part of the year, including a dominant outing in his final start of the year. So the Giants are high on his chances of kind of getting back to the form that made him one of the better, more quality left-handed pitchers in the game several seasons ago. We're talking like 2012 through 2015. So yes, a long time ago, but a worthwhile gamble. And, you know, I actually think there's a decent chance that they may get the best out of Drew Smyly, and he thinks so as well. So I want to talk about some stuff that he had to say about why he signed with the Giants. First of all, he said that last year he was a little scared to get hurt. He's telling this to Mark Sanchez of KNBR. He said his main goal going into last year was to stay healthy, and he lost sight of how competitive it is and how to bring it. Smyly said he, quote, loved Kapler as manager during his 12 starts in Philadelphia, appreciating his intensity and communicative nature. And he also said he knew the Giants' reputation as a forward-thinking organization now under Farhan Zaidi and now the new coaching staff. And he said, quote, talking philosophy and how to improve and stuff like that. That's one of the main reasons I signed here. I knew they were analytically advanced and would put me in a really good position to succeed. And then here's what Kapler had to say about Smiley from being his manager at the end of last season. Quote, what we saw from Smiley last year was a durable, dependable body and one that showed flashes of the form that made him so good both in Detroit and Tampa Bay. He does a really good job of elevating his fastball at appropriate times, and he's crafty, but he's also lively armed with a lot of upside. One more year out from his Tommy John surgery, there's a lot of reason for optimism, and I know a lot of people in our camp are excited for what Smiley can accomplish this year. So that pretty much echoes exactly how I feel about Smiley as well. It's another, going back to Smiley's quotes, another example of the players enthusiastically embracing the new direction of the Giants. You know, it's crazy. Media and fans alike are more skeptical than the players themselves, and the players themselves are the only ones it really matters for. So here's Smiley saying he wanted to pitch here because he knew they were going to give him the best tools to succeed. So anyway, we'll talk about Jalen Davis in the second half of the show. It's kind of the same story, but on the hitting side of things, of course, Davis does not have the track record to fall back on, but kind of a project here for the Giants coaches, and they think there's real upside to unlock, and we saw some of it yesterday. So we'll talk about Davis and his process in the second half of the show. All right, here in the second half of the show, as promised, I want to talk about Jalen Davis, who is perhaps the biggest kind of swing player for the San Francisco Giants in 2020. Like, if he can be what they seem to believe he can be, then that could be a huge development for the 2020 Giants, versus if he's not able to do that, which is probably the more likely outcome. I'm not trying to sit here and say, okay, we've got a MVP candidate in Davis. But they, you know, I'm just going based on what they keep saying, which is that they think there's a lot to unlock here with his swing, and that it's maybe a minor adjustment away from being able to really make an impact at the major league level as early as 2020. And so we'll talk about the adjustments that he's made, and then we'll talk about the game he had yesterday against the Diamondbacks in the Cactus League. So again, courtesy of Mark Sanchez of KNBR.com, in a story that came out February 19th, we learned that Davis spent 3 days with the new hitting coaches the weekend before Christmas, taking swings in the cage and going over video from last year. Mark Sanchez says different people attribute different sources for what went wrong. And we're talking about his major league plate appearances, obviously, because he had such a strong season in the minors. And Davis said he was feeling pressure. Gabe Kapler said they will work on his confidence. And Davis says he felt he was being rushed with so much busyness in his swing, making for reactions rather than attacks. And yeah, I mean, if you look at how he handled his pre-pitch positioning, basically, in the batter's box, there was a lot of moving parts, a lot of moving parts up top with a bat wag, a lot of hand movement before the pitch comes in. So Davis says, quote, I was running a race last year with cinder blocks on. I was still doing good in the minors. They were like, imagine what you could do if you slowed things down a little bit, because I had a lot of movement on my upper half of my swing, so I would get caught off guard a lot. I wasn't as consistent. So now it's one motion. So yeah, jumping ahead, the giveaway here is that they worked on calming his upper half prior to the pitch. And so we saw it, we can see it if we watch that highlight from Jalen Davis's game yesterday. His bat is resting on his shoulder prior to the pitch coming in. Of course, when the pitcher's getting ready to release the ball, his hands do elevate off the shoulder and into a load position, but there's just a lot less movement, and the results for Davis, I mean, he can attest, have been huge for him. He says there's been a healthy dialogue back and forth about his tweaked swing, but, quote, I couldn't really argue with them about last year's swing. I watched the video. I saw it too. Feels like I have more time than I actually need now. So instead of feeling rushed, which is kind of the types of swings we saw from him at the major league level last year, where he was reacting to pitches instead of like having time and making aggressive decisions, he was behind. And that's what you see a lot of from guys who fail to have success at the major league level. They just look kind of overwhelmed by the speed. They're late on the fastball. They're early on off-speed pitches. They're just reacting instead of kind of having a plan up there and attacking pitches that they can handle. So he's saying now that he feels like he has too much time. So he's sitting there, his hands are loaded, he sees the pitch coming in, and he just has all the time in the world to react. So that is huge. Like, to have him saying that to me is a big deal. And so here's a quote from his manager. "He has a near elite engine. The bat speed is tremendous. The rotation speed is tremendous. The way the ball comes off his bat is really impressive. He didn't perform his best last year at the major league level, but we know it's in there. We want him to know we're not paying much attention to a 40 plate appearance sample size at the end of the year." So then fast forward to yesterday's game, and Jalen Davis had 3 plate appearances and delivered 2 gappers, including a 2-run, 2-out triple. And if you just watch the footage, the bat is on the shoulder. He raises it up prior to the pitch and just handles it and hammers it into the gap. So it's just, you know, intriguing to see, especially given all these positive quotes we're reading from Farhan or Kapler or the coaches or whoever, or from Davis himself. So according to Maria Guardado of sfgiants.com, she spoke to Kapler after the game about Jalen Davis, and Kapler said he talked about in his last game how he was seeing the ball, but he was just a touch late. Today he felt like he was really on time and he made that adjustment. As a result, he really struck the ball well and saw the ball well. So again, it's not just about the results. It's about that type of information and that type of development where Jalen Davis himself is talking about how he feels like he has more time and he gets a chance to really see the ball and attack it. So obviously, I want to reiterate, I don't think it's the most likely outcome that this is going to work and he's going to become a really quality major league player, but this is what the process would look like if that were to happen. The tweaks have been made and the player believes that those changes are making a tangible difference in how he feels at the plate. So only time will tell, and we'll just, of course, continue to monitor Jalen Davis's spring. We talked yesterday about how his spring training is one of the most significant of all Giants players in camp. So coming up tomorrow, we'll have another game to discuss. We'll look for any more standout performances. Kevin Gausman making his first start with the Giants in spring. The game is today at 12:05. So that is all the time we have for today. Remember to get this show every weekday. You need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Caspick. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow. And until then, we'll see you next time.